Now I invite your attention to the solution to the problem of life, a message which was delivered in May 1970, page number 98 of the Showers of Grace. He asserts, the soul is longing to feel its characteristic which has gone out of sight, and this insignificant being is seeking fellow pilgrims to march on the path of freedom. It is not a new thing that we are going to have. That's our basic characteristic. But we tend to drift away from our natural state for various reasons. And he says, as a traveler in the path, I would like to share with you and guide you. You can see the catharsity of his approach, because he calls us fellow pilgrims in the march of freedom. He asserts the soul is longing to feel its characteristic, which has gone out of sight. That is, every one of us is moving towards the divine. This is one of the peculiar statements we are hearing from a master, because our tradition has taught us some people are in the Nivritti Pada and some people are in the Pravritti Pada, and those who take the Nivritti Pada are the people who take to yoga, and the Pravritti Pada are the people who get involved in manifestation. Even in Bhagavad Gita you find a similar note. But Babaji here does not agree with that. And he says that every one of us is moving towards our original condition. And he says, I am prepared to assist you in getting back to your assistance. If I can indulge further in understanding this, I can say the restlessness that we are feeling, about which he was referring to in the earlier message, which we just now heard, is mainly because we want to get back to our home and we are restless here. The restlessness is not due to anything else other than our desire to get back, which we find several fetters are holding us on here. We want to get rid of it. And here he says, yes, you are naturally seeking to get back to your homeland, and I am here to assist you. I would appreciate you people contemplate on this and then get your own messages of the Master in your heart. My longing to get fellow travelers is only for the sake of rendering service to help their safe arrival at the destination. The idea may look foreign to you at first sight. As I told you, it's foreign to us, because we have been told that there are two types of people, two types of jivas, one on the Pravritti Pada and another in the Nivritti Pada. A recurrent theme even Dr. Casey would like to insist upon because of his traditional background. But then Babaji is breaking the tradition here. And then he says, points out that every one of us is destined to get back. And he is, and because of that desire only we are restless. The idea may look foreign to you at first sight. If you pause a little to consider the problem, the destination, you will surely come to the conclusion that you are sailing towards your own home, where from you have been snatched away by the irony of fate. When we use the phrase irony of fate, the idea of unbalanced character presents itself to our memory. This is one of the noblest of the thoughts that we should have. We had a balanced condition and we have become unbalanced by option. Some saints have even referred to this as sin, the first sin, not the Western saints, I mean the Indian saints. They said, the only mistake I have done is to forget my real condition. My real condition of being a servant of the divine, to feel that I am a part of the divine, to serve the divine in all respects. I forgot this and I committed the first sin. To feel that we are away from the Master even for a second is a sin by itself, because it is not possible. It is falsehood. The Master is always with us. God is always residing in our heart. the Anantatva and Abhyaktatva that is experienced by us in the heart is just a confirmation of the presence of the Divine with us all the time. It has been my stress that we should be aware of this friend who has come to us along with our birth and who will continue to be with us after we cease to exist in the physical form. Because irrespective of the planes of existence, his company is had. If we confuse ourselves saying that we are living only because of the physical body that we have got, I think we are unfortunately trying to confine life to 1/5 of its real size, because 5 koshas have been identified, and if we want to confine ourselves to only that Annamaya kosha, that means you are doing injustice to yourselves. So long as there was the balance of state, we had no form of our own. Even as the ultimate has no form, or God has no form, we have no form of our own. The form that we are thinking that it is ours by looking at the mirrors is not our form. Our true form is that of having no form. As a matter of fact, the first 2 bandages that we get are the Nama and the Rupa, as I have stressed earlier in many of my talks with you. By naming somebody as so and so, you are putting a chain on him. In order to point out the defect in calling a man by one name, our tradition has stated at least we give 3 names. When it came to God, they were prepared to give 1,000 names for him, just to make it impossible for you to conceive about any form. We don't have any form. Our real condition is again the same thing as the Divine. It's formless. Not only God is formless, we are also formless. The forms that we are assuming are the forms of our choice. We are simply to unfold ourselves and restore our own balance, which we had lost. How simple it looks when we say that we have restored our balance. I would appeal to every one of you to kindly think about whether we have restored our balance. Because we are in an unbalanced condition, we are restless. Unbalanced because of several attachments and bondages, several ideas about ourselves, our egos, our notions, our idiosyncrasies. It is of course a very simple thing, but it becomes very difficult to follow because with our unbalanced state, we have created intricacies. Intricacies here mean essentially attachment to anything other than the Divine is an intricacy that we build on our soul. The cocoon of the silkworm is being built, have been built by us regularly. This example Babaji mentions elsewhere and says we have formed, or put ourselves into a cocoon. And it becomes very difficult to come out of it without breaking the cocoon. We always like to seek our way or to solve our problem of life through the difficult methods so commonly prevalent in our country. The methods that we adopted are materialistic, not spiritual. This is explained in the coming sentences. This is why disappointment and frustration result. Because people who have been trying to get at the ultimate through rituals, through mantras, tantras and yantras, through having holy baths in holy rivers, trying to be the pilgrimages, are all resorting to the external means, totally materialistic. And through that you are not going to reach. This is the assertion of the master here, we are not going to. And frustrations result. I can recall the experience of a person who came to me long, long back, who was with us for quite some time, and for reasons best known to him, because of other intricacies he has developed, he is not with us. He lost his wife, and when he came to me, he was in a state of terrific confusion. He was telling me that an apparition of his wife always sits by his side. And then he went to one of the Mathadipatis, who has advised that he may go through certain places. He spent about 4,000 to 5,000 rupees on that and couldn't get any relief. He was brought to me by another friend and said, he is a person, can you do something about it? I asked him, yes, provided he is prepared to follow the method, we can do something about it. It was hard work for about 6 to 7 months, and then he was out of that problem. But then, as Babaji puts it among Abhyasis, people who get their things done do not come. People who do not get their things done do not come. Why people don't come for Abhyas? This is the reason why they don't come. Again and again, why they don't come. If you see the types of disciples, in his article on types of disciples, you will find this category. We want to extract essence from fatty substances, in other words, from things which are puffed up with material knowledge, and not from bones where phosphorus is abundant, to illumine the particles, however soiled they may be. This is one of the most important messages that Babaji is giving us. Fatty substances, he uses the word. Our attachment to things are essentially because of this. The skin and its color, the fat that is deposited over our bones, are the things that attract us first towards another person. Similarly, the forms that we give for God attract us. But then, if you burn the fat, it forms a suit also. But if you go to the bones which is inside, you get to the real nature of the soul. Phosphorus is a self-effacing thing, and no traces of that element can be found later. Why phosphorus has been referred to here as spiritual, I think this is the reason which I understand. It makes sense to me, otherwise what is the talk of bones? The talk of attachment, love, etc., etc., that we have got for some people, unfortunately fades out the moment the fat deposits are depleted. And nobody likes to love bones. But if you don't know how to learn and love bones, you will not also learn spirituality. This is one of the reasons of penances and austerities that was practiced earlier by our tradition. Babaji never asked us to do that. But then he is asking us to understand that you are going to get spirituality only from the bones. It is the bones that matter. Because he says phosphorus is abundant. Where phosphorus is abundant to illumine the particles, however soiled they may be. When you know the nature of these bones and you understand that what it is, then however soiled the fatty material around us, however bad is your skin, you will still be in a position to appreciate the value of life. If at all there is something that is given to us at the time of birth by way of our karma, this one thing, the bones, are the most important things. Because it is what teaches us as to how to get back. The fatty things will never do. Now the fatty things are various rituals, various ceremonies, various ways of trying to enjoy ourselves. In the name of God, of course. But what we get is a prasad. Our eyes are more on the prasad than anything else. But the prasad of grace that is coming to us from the Master is more appreciated by people like us than the laddus or the vada that we may have. They are fatty things. A laddu is just fat. The vada also is fat. But we get attached to it. Adopt easy means for gaining the easy thing. Dogmas do you no good. Why he is referring to dogmas is most of us are condemned to certain dogmas. This has been the practice of my family for so many generations, therefore I shall continue. This has been the practice of the religion that we have adopted, therefore we shall continue. This is a ritual that we do it in a routine way, we shall continue. I am not against continuance, please note it, I am not against it. But have the viveka to understand they are only customs that we can follow, or perhaps we should follow, to see that our tradition is preserved. Beyond that, if you try to see something more there, it's just a waste of our time. Adhyatmika yatra will not be there. Whatever else you may have. It is only the practical thing that can weave your destiny under the guidance of one who has measured the distance and has discovered the original source. That the Master has measured the distance and has given the path is what the Towards Infinity says. The methods he has given are discovered for the first time, namely the meditations on point A and B, which appear to be more or less a casualty with almost all abhyasis, because you know you are attached to the fact. It is the fact that attracts you from meditating on the point A and point B. If you understand behind this forum that there is a forum of skeletons, and after all you are dealing with it, I do not think the amorousness with which most of us get engaged most of the time would govern you. But such a viveka does not arise unless you meditate on the point A or B, or adopt austerities and penances as advised by the Jains and later on Hindus. Let us understand this. That there is a lapse on our part, that we get attached to the fat, the materials, is something that we should fully appreciate, so that you know what to do further. Such people will not hesitate to do the meditation on point A and B. Others will naturally give you excuses for not doing it. The reasons are obvious. The original source has been discovered by our Master, even as we understand from the various biographies of his and autobiography written by himself. But there is a convention again, Yandaro Mohanubhavaru, and you would like to put this person also among them. Please don't do it. Mohanubhavarus may be many, Yoga Purushas can only be one. There is enormous difference between these two. The Mahanubhavas come and try to follow the Yoga Purushas because they are prepared to undergo whatever privations or deprivations that are necessary for sadhana. Weak souls would not like to do that. They are cowards. And cowards have no place in spirituality, even as the Vedic says, iti ucchyanti dhiraha. It is the dhiras that are required, not the people who fall at the first problem that they face in life and then start crying and confuse themselves, they are in a state of devotion. and perhaps I try to convince others also that they are terribly devoted. I do not know whether others are convinced or not, but they seem to enjoy such a concept of telling, because I think these people suffer from self-pity. There are such men in India who can very easily guide you to the destination, so near and dear to you. This is an assertion on his part. There may be others also who know the path. You can see his openness of mind here. And he says, but the selection you have to make yourself. For him to guide you in your search, I may say that where you find the idea of service with no selfish motive of the guide, there rests the real thing. One thing that I would like to stress most is when we try to see the selfless service, please note whether he is at least seeking recognition, in which case it cannot be considered as selfless service. The ashtik is tough, but then tough things are achieved by tougher means only. One more thing to take into account specially is to know and to be sure that one who can foment you with his own internal divine power to make your task easy is the only capable hand for spiritual guidance. This is one of the reasons I have been telling that if you want to pass on the message of the Master, you have to own up the conditions that get blessed on you by the methods he has given. So long we have kept certain information away from you and was confined to the trainers. In the latest issue of Satyapadam, you will find how to study the condition of an aspirant and how the methods can be practiced by all. It's a deliberate decision taken by the ISRC to provide that. The first decision we made earlier was that we will issue the manual itself, which is not being done in other places. The next thing that we are trying to do is we would like to keep it open for all. Nobody, as I told you yesterday, is superior and nobody is inferior in status. We are all equal. As Babaji puts it, he is himself a fellow traveler. If the concept of master being a fellow traveler gets ingrained in you, you will understand that there cannot be any difference between us. Yes, some people are more regular, some people are less regular. People who say that they get up early in the day, by 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock, and therefore they are doing better sadhana, only remind me of the cocks. Cock-a-doodle, it does it. Getting up early or taking a bath is of no consequence if it is not followed by the internal condition of purity of body and mind, as he puts it, purity of body and mind. And coming to the purity aspect of it, everyone knows that these are two essential things for prayer. So many external methods are adopted. Some people feel they are polluted and they would like to have a bath. Some people would like to say that I have taken a dip in the Ganges. Purity is never achieved by such means. It is only by remembering the Master or God that you can purify your body and mind. Yasmaret Pundarikaksham Savahyantara Suchihi. This is a tradition. It is tough to practice because we would like to say that we are at least capable of using a Dettol soap. That's our way of thinking. Externalities take over. If you read carefully the meditation on point B, it has been stated by the Master that this particular cleaning that you are doing here now is with the idea that the purity of mind and body is achieved. And it's a matter of few seconds or few minutes. I had very amusing questions on this subject from various people. Some people even said, went to the extent of saying that I have been cleaning fine to be for the past 1 week regularly. Such weak wills never work. You must have the confidence that the Master is helping you, the Pundarikaksha is helping you. It doesn't matter much what name you give for God, because all names are meaningless. But you should have the conviction that you have been purified. Now the question is, are we cleansed totally? In which case no person would have asked you to meditate every day on that. The mere fact that you are asked to do this regularly must inform you of the limitations of such a cleaning every day. The effort shall go on over a period of time that is achieved. And there are the conditions of saucha that comes. That's a condition. You would not like to keep your body polluted under any circumstance. By either the internal or the external means. You will not eat rubbish afterwards. You will take only sattvic food. Because as you think about the food, thinking that it is a prasad from God as you are eating it, then you know God does not give you filth. That much of viveka we should have. I have come across recently a person who has, unfortunate as it is, who evaluates himself at the highest level. But I know they got medical certificates on false grounds. Honesty was a casualty there. Still, they have the courage. Yesterday I had an occasion to observe one of the persons when I asked whether you have gone through this article and how to study the condition. Like a basavarna, there was a nod of the head, which is not true. Do not take spirituality casually unless you want or determined to harm yourself. With untruth you never reach truth. Falsehood has never been known to take us to reality. Here the question is fomenting. Unless you have got the capacity to foment the others, to say that I foment the other person with the condition is ridiculous. If you are using the hot water bag, and if it does not contain a hot water, it can never foment. But delusions are many. And you have got the excuse that the Master himself will do that. And therefore you get into mess. This is the problem. This applies to all. When you try to tell somebody else about this system, and if you don't follow the system yourself, a condition which you don't have, the chances are the other man is not likely to hear what you say. If you have the condition of following it, naturally the other man will hear you. Sincerity gets exposed. To get such a man is a sure sign of successful solution of the problem of life. This is again another assurance from his side that your problem will be solved of life. It's not just this life which has got some problems of employment, some problems of family, some problems of marriages, some problems of debts, but life itself. It is not a matter of bahunam janmanam ante. It's a matter of this life itself. Provided you follow what he says. Provided you get such a person. We are fortunate in getting such a person. But if you try to insist on the physical presence of such personalities, you are bound to fail. Because you cannot confine reality to 1/5 of it. For you all I pray that the seekers may get such a guide. I am happy to see that such a prayer has been answered, at least in our case. He has prayed. And perhaps we have come because of that. The love of the Master brought us to him rather than our own desire for it. I think now there remains little on my part to pray for your spiritual elevation when you get such a man as your guide. This is again another assurance from his side. As in duty bound, I wish that you all see the light of the day. The light of the day is he. He doesn't express it openly. The hope of the day is he and his brethren. He has no form, as I put it in Path of Grace. This is a personality which has no personality, which has no persona. All of us have got persona, some masks on our head, on our face. We are not prepared to reveal our real selves to others. But at least you should do it with reference to the Master. If you don't learn how to pray in the night and place yourself before him in all humility, I do not think you do more good to yourself than others who might not have known the Master. I appeal again, please think about the messages from a different angle, then you will get different meanings. As we have put it here in the publisher's note itself, more messages were being received in the heart, we said, which shows the approach of the SRC that we would like every one of you to receive the message of the Master in your own hearts and do not get condemned to the recorded messages. Which we are saying, I know earlier another edition was there, we said this complete edition. I did not like that word. I said, this is not a complete edition. We even went to the extent of saying it is not. Because we are getting more messages. Every one of us is receiving a message in his heart, provided he is prepared to hear the voice of God. The silence has been speaking more eloquently than speeches. But do we have our ears tuned to it, which is the real condition? The real condition of the ear is to get it tuned to the divine. The real condition of the eyes is to see him alone. To speak of him is the only thing that your tongue can do. To do service to him through your hands and feet is all that you have got to do. That is the real condition. Owning the real condition means only this, and anything other than that is a materialistic approach or a mechanistic approach which does not help us. With these few words, I think I take leave of you for the present.